Usually when we think about high-stakes financial traps, our minds immediately jump to like Wall Street.
Right.
We picture complex derivatives or offshore accounts, maybe some massive corporate espionage scheme.
Exactly, the kind of stuff you'd see in a financial thriller.
Yeah. But today we are going to look at a financial black hole that is just, well, it's sitting right in the corner of almost every single office, school, and hospital in the world.
Oh, definitely.
It's humming quietly, it's flashing a little green light, and it is secretly bleeding organizations dry.
The office copier.
The office copier. I know it sounds incredibly mundane, but welcome to this custom deep dive into the surprisingly predatory world of corporate copier and printer leases.
It is quite the world, yeah.
We have an absolutely fascinating collection of information to guide us today for you. We're pulling from internal hospital audit reports from 2016, a highly detailed request for proposal comparison matrix from a church and school in Wisconsin, and some testimonials from IT directors.
Plus, the capability statements of an independent, vendor-neutral expense reduction firm called Copier Consulting.
Right. And our mission here is really specific. We are going to expose exactly how vendors use convoluted fine print to extract millions of dollars from unsuspecting buyers.
Millions. It's really staggering.
And more importantly, we're going to give you the exact insider playbook you need to spot these legal traps in your own workplace.
Because they are everywhere.
They really are. Okay, let's unpack this. Because if you are listening to this right now, your natural reaction is probably, I mean, it's just a printer. How bad could it possibly be?
And that skepticism is exactly what the vendors are banking on.
Right.
Why should you care about copiers? Because this industry is just an absolute masterclass in contract bloat and really information asymmetry.
Units and asymmetry, yeah.
The vendors hold all the cards. They know the complex financing math. They know the actual equipment life cycles. And, they know the people signing the leases are usually just too busy to read a 50-page master service agreement.
Who has the time?
Exactly. So the buyers are left paying for hidden interest rates, phantom services, and penalties they never even knew existed.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a cautionary tale about what happens when you trust a system that is fundamentally engineered to confuse you.
To see what happens when an organization completely loses control of that system, we don't need to look at like abstract theories. We can look at a massive real-world disaster.
Oh, the hospital audit.
Yes, specifically a 2016 executive summary audit of MemorialCare. It's a major health system in Long Beach, California.
Yeah.
When you read through this audit, the sheer scale of the operation is just dizzying. We are talking about endless lists of tracking barcodes spread across the medical surgical ICU, the heart center, the behavioral health unit, radiology, pathology.
Everywhere.
They had copiers and printers tucked into literally every conceivable corner of this hospital.
And chaos in every single one of those corners, by the way.
Total chaos.
The financial red flags the auditors uncovered are staggering. I mean, right at the top of the report, they found a massive discrepancy. The hospital had an internal tracking spreadsheet estimating their monthly lease costs at around $42,000 across 314 devices.
Okay, 42 grand.
But when the auditors tried to verify that, the actual contracts they could locate only accounted for about $27,000 across 160 devices.
Wait, what? So there was a massive gap between what they thought they were paying, what the paperwork actually said, and what was physically sitting on the hospital floor.
Exactly. The auditors explicitly warned that the hospital had essentially handed their third-party vendor an open checkbook.
An open checkbook for printers.
Yeah.
Wow.
This vendor, named Auxilio, wasn't just providing machines. They were acting as the paying agent, the sole sourcing coordinator. And this is the wild part. They were allowed to use their own proprietary methodology for calculating the hospital's fees.
That sounds like a massive conflict of interest.
What's fascinating here is how the vendor exploited the gaps in the hospital's own infrastructure. The audit revealed that MemorialCare had 2,134 non-networked devices.
2,000.
Yeah, these are desktop printers that aren't hooked up to the central IT system, meaning they don't have automatic page counters reporting data back to a main server.
Wait, I have to pause you there. I mean, I completely understand an office losing track of like a few rogue desktop printers. But how does a modern high-tech hospital system simply lose track of over 2,000 devices? That just seems impossible.
It happens much more easily than you'd think, especially in healthcare. It usually starts with procurement fragmentation.
Okay.
Say a nurse manager in the ICU needs a printer at a specific nursing station immediately. So instead of waiting for centralized IT procurement, they just use a departmental credit card. buy a cheap printer from a big box store and plug it directly into a local computer via USB. Multiply that behavior across a dozen departments over 5 years, and suddenly you have thousands of machines that IT can't see, can't monitor, and just can't track.
Okay, so if the vendor can't track the page counts on those 2,000 machines, how are they billing the hospital for the ink and toner?
Well, they guessed.
They just guessed.
They guessed. But they guessed in a very specific way. The audit notes that the vendor's supply yields were based on cost, not actual coverage or physical usage.
Oh, wow.
The auditors flagged this immediately. They stated it had the appearance of a guess at actual volumes used. The hospital had absolutely no reasonable mechanism to verify the numbers, so the vendor could essentially just dictate the consumption rate based on their own profit margins.
Which brings us to the sneaky extra charges that just honestly blew my mind. Mm. The auditors discovered that under this contract, simply scanning a document might be a chargeable event.
Yep.
Sending an outgoing fax, also a chargeable event.
It's incredible.
That is unbelievable to me. That's like buying a smartphone, paying for your data plan, and then the cell carrier charging you a separate fee every time you take a photo that saves to your own local camera roll.
That's exactly what it's like.
How does a massive, sophisticated hospital system let a vendor lock in a contract where they are paying a toll to digitize their own internal documents?
Again, it comes back to that procurement fragmentation we talked about. The people using the machines, the doctors scanning patient records, they're completely disconnected from the purchasing team negotiating the initial contracts.
Right.
And both of those groups are disconnected from the accounts payable department that blindly pays the invoices every month. The vendors know this. So they bury contradictory compliance rules deep in the master service agreement.
And the audit highlighted a perfect example of this. They found an 18-month further action limitation sitting right alongside a 30-day early termination clause.
Oh yeah, a classic trap.
Explain that mechanism to me. How can a contract say you have 30 days to cancel but also have an 18-month limitation?
That is the legal camouflage.
Yeah.
A hospital procurement officer reads the 30-day early termination clause and feels totally safe. They think, great, if this vendor doesn't work out, we just give 30 days notice and we're out.
Makes sense.
But what they don't realize is that 40 pages later, there is an 18-month further action limitation.
Yikes.
This means that while you can state your intent to terminate in 30 days, you legally waive the right to take any further action, like physically replacing the equipment with a competitor's machines, or finalizing the legal migration without giving the vendor an 18-month grace period to, quote-unquote, cure whatever defect caused you to cancel.
So it effectively legally paralyzes the buyer.
Exactly. It makes the 30-day clause completely useless.
It's a maze of paperwork designed to make it too legally cumbersome to leave. And the audit noted that if they did try to force their way out, they were shackled by a mandatory 60-month equipment lease term, or they would be penalized by being charged 50% of the remaining difference.
Yeah, they are trapped.
So it's easy to blame a hospital's massive bureaucracy for losing track of things and signing bad contracts. But when you look at how a standard lease is engineered for a much smaller organization, you realize the math is intentionally weaponized against the buyer right out of the gate.
It really is.
That brings us to a highly detailed RFP comparison matrix from 2022. It was put together for St. John Nexty Third, which is a local church and school in Port Washington, Wisconsin.
A completely different scale.
Completely. They lined up bids from multiple vendors side by side, and looking at this spreadsheet is like dissecting the anatomy of a toxic lease.
The foundation of that toxicity is the lease structure itself.
Mm.
In this industry, you typically see two types of leases. A fair market value lease, known as an FMV, and a $1 buyout option.
I was looking at the St. John's matrix, and the incumbent vendor was using an FMV fair market value lease. At first glance, the phrase fair market sounds totally reasonable and transparent.
Sure, sounds great.
But if I'm understanding the mechanism here correctly, it's actually a massive trap, because the leasing company gets to completely dictate what that arbitrary market value is at the end of the term.
You've hit the nail on the head. A fair market value lease is fundamentally designed to keep you on the hook forever. Think about it. At the end of a 60-month term, a heavily used office copier has essentially zero actual market value. It's an outdated piece of plastic and glass.
Right. It's basically e-waste at that point.
Exactly. But under an FMV lease, the leasing company determines the value. They use that ambiguously defined market value to do one of three things. Force you to keep making monthly payments on a machine you've already paid off, roll you into a brand new expensive lease just to avoid the hassle, or charge you exorbitant buyout fees to return the equipment.
Whereas the newer vendors in the Matrix proposed a $1 buyout option, meaning at the end of the 60 months, you literally hand them a single dollar and you own the machine free and clear.
Exactly. The vendor loses all their leverage.
But the structure of the lease is just the beginning. The way these companies hide the interest rates is pure financial sleight of hand.
Oh, there are rate factors.
Yes. The Matrix breaks down something called the lease financing rate factor. Vendors don't just hand you a standard APR percentage like you'd get with a car loan or a mortgage. They use a confusing decimal like 0.022365. You are supposed to multiply that rate factor by the principal equipment cost to get your monthly payment.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you have to ask why they use a decimal instead of a percentage. It is pure human psychology.
How so?
Well, to a tired procurement officer, a decimal like 0.022365 looks like a negligible administrative fee. It looks tiny.
It does.
But it is masking a massive annual percentage rate. When you reverse engineer the math using truth in lending documents, the Matrix reveals that these tiny decimals were concealing APRs ranging from 7.25% all the way up to 12.99%.
That is insane for a printer.
One of the alternate vendors in the Matrix was quietly charging over $8,100 in hidden interest alone on a $26,000 machine.
And then there's the cost per copy, the CPC. The Matrix shows wild variations here, too. One vendor charged over 5 cents for a single color copy, while another charged 3.5 cents. Black and white prints ranged from over a penny down to about half a penny. Now, half a penny sounds completely insignificant, but across millions of pages over 5 years, it's a fortune.
This is where the strategy of intentional confusion really comes into play. Leasing companies deliberately separate the physical equipment cost from the service and maintenance cost.
Right.
They will bill your main lease payment for the physical machine monthly, but they intentionally bill the overagent, charges the cost for those extra copies quarterly.
So they're intentionally staggering the timeline, so you never see the true monthly cost on a single piece of paper.
Precisely. By staggering the billing cycles, making the interest rate a confusing decimal, and separating the equipment from the service contract, the vendor ensures the buyer only ever focuses on that one seemingly low monthly lease payment.
Because it's the only thing that's consistent.
Right. You completely miss the totality of the contractual obligation because the true cost is fractured across different invoices arriving at different times.
Which leads to my absolute favorite part of the St. John's Matrix, the end-of-life hostage fees.
Oh, these are the worst.
The vendors literally charge you a fee just to break up with them. The Matrix shows one vendor charging $150 just to digitally wipe the hard drive of a competitor's machine.
Yep.
And then there's the return shipping. Vendors were quoting $400 to $500 per device to ship the equipment back to the leasing company.
Just to return it.
Right. If you're listening to this right now, the natural question you have to ask is, if I am leasing the machine, meaning it is legally their property, why am I paying $500 to ship it back to them? Isn't it their responsibility to come retrieve their own property?
You would certainly think so. But no, the burden of return is almost always pushed onto the buyer in the fine print.
Unbelievable.
And you have to remember, commercial office copiers are massive, heavy, highly delicate pieces of machinery. You can't just put a stamp on it and drop it off in the local post office.
Right, you need a forklift.
You have to hire specialized freight trucks, which the vendor happily arranges for you at a massive markup, of course.
Yeah.
It is one final, incredibly lucrative squeeze on your way out the door.
Okay, so having thoroughly terrified everyone with the traps, from hidden non-network machines to decimal point interest rates, let's pivot to the solution. How do you actually beat a system that is fundamentally engineered to confuse you?
Well, you bring in an insider.
Exactly. And that brings us to the methodology used by Copier Consulting, and specifically its president, Al Kietzman.
Yeah, his approach is fascinating.
He describes himself as a former seller-turned-buyer advocate. He spent 15 years on the other side of the table selling these exact contracts, so he knows precisely where the financial bodies are buried. And he spent the last 15 years helping buyers dig them up.
He uses something called the ARE process. It stands for Assess, Research, and Evaluate.
Let's unpack those steps, starting with Assess.
The Assess phase is really about finding reality. Remember the hospital that lost 2,000 printers?
How could I forget?
Right. Well, step one is physically and digitally walking the floors to build an actual inventory of what you have versus what you were paying for. You can't fix a contract if you don't even know what machines are plugged into your walls.
Makes total sense. And then comes the research phase.
Right. Research is where you dig into the fine print of your existing agreements. You are looking for expiration dates, buyout clauses, and most importantly, you are identifying exactly who holds your paper.
This is a critical point that Copier Consulting highlights in their data collection checklist. It is a massive trap regarding how you actually cancel your current contract.
Oh, the cancellation process is a nightmare.
The checklist explicitly states that when it's time to leave, you must send written non-renewal notices to both the leasing company and the servicing dealer.
It is arguably the most common mistake buyers make. Most people assume the local dealer who drops off the toner and fixes the paper jams is the exact same entity that finances the machine.
But they aren't.
They aren't. They are almost always separate companies. If you call up your friendly local dealer and say, hey, we're not renewing our contract, the dealer might say, sure, okay. But the separate financial leasing company across the country will invoke an evergreen auto-renewal clause hidden on, like, page 40 of your lease. Because you didn't legally notify the bank, suddenly you are locked in for another full 12 months of payments on a machine you're actively trying to return.
Just because you didn't send a letter to the right address.
Exactly. You have to legally notify both parties in writing, adhering to incredibly strict deadlines.
That brings us to the final step. Evaluate. Here's where it gets really interesting to me. To evaluate new vendors, he uses a cornerstone document called the RFP 70 Plus FATE.
Oh, this document is brilliant.
It is a brilliantly aggressive questionnaire that forces vendors to answer more than 70 highly specific questions in writing to expose everything they normally omit from a standard proposal.
And leaves them nowhere to hide.
He forces them to answer things like, do you charge for excess toner? Will you invoice service CPC rates in arrears, meaning will you bill us after we actually make the copies, rather than making us pay up front based on an arbitrary estimate?
This raises an important question, though. Why do vendors get away with hiding all of this in the first place?
Yeah.
Because the average buyer simply doesn't know what questions to ask. The RFP 70 Plus is entirely about shifting the power dynamic.
My favorite part of the RFP 70 Plus is how it addresses annual percentage increases. He makes the vendor state, in writing, exactly how much they plan to hike the service rates every single year.
That's huge.
The St. John's Matrix showed that while some honest vendors lock their rates for the entire five-year term, others only lock them for 2 years and then bury guaranteed 5% or even 10% compounding annual hikes in the fine print.
And look at how the RFP handles preventative maintenance, or PMs. The document forces the vendor to state the manufacturer's recommended monthly volume for a machine and then asks for the local service department's recommended volume.
And they're usually different.
They're often very different. It forces the vendor to admit, on paper, that a specific device requires preventative maintenance every, say, 600,000 prints.
Right. If you don't demand total transparency on that maintenance schedule up front, the vendor might just skip the preventative maintenance entirely to save themselves labor costs.
Exactly.
That silently degrades the lifespan of the machine you are leasing. You are already paying for that maintenance baked into your cost per copy rate. You need a legal mechanism to make sure they are actually showing up to do the work.
Exactly. It removes the ambiguity.
So we've walked through the traps and we've outlined the playbook, but what does this all mean in the real world? Does uncovering these hidden rate factors and forcing vendors to answer 70 questions actually save meaningful money?
Oh, the numbers are incredibly validating. Let's look at the example of a South Carolina healthcare facility outlined in the capability statements.
Okay.
They had a fleet of 59 copiers and 399 desktop printers. Under their old, poorly structured contracts, their monthly spend was over $29,000.
Which is a massive budget line item.
Huge. But by applying this insider knowledge, by forcing an all-inclusive contract with a $1 purchase option instead of that predatory fair market value lease, and by demanding fully disclosed flat rate math, they dropped their monthly spend to just over $16,000.
Wait, wow. That is a direct savings of over $12,000 every single month.
Yep. Over the course of their 36-month term, they saved $456,804.
Almost half $1 million.
That is a 33% reduction in cost. And the best part is, they didn't even have to disrupt their employees' workflows or remove necessary printers to achieve it. They just fixed the math.
And it scales down perfectly, too. It's not just for giant hospitals. The city of Juneau, Wisconsin, worked with Copier Consulting on a tiny fleet of just two copiers and one desktop printer.
Right, very small scale.
But by using the exact same strategy, they saved nearly $8,000, which was a 45% reduction for their local budget. Plus, they got faster equipment, significantly reduced service rates, and they eliminated the mandatory volume minimums that were forcing them to pay for prints they never actually made.
The testimonials really drive this home, too. We have a letter from Tim Robertson, the IT director for Trempealeau County.
Oh, I loved his letter.
He specifically praised this methodical approach for helping his department navigate the, and I quote, Vintine workings of the print services industry.
Byzantine is the perfect word for it. And then there's the feedback from Tim Zunker. He's a sixth grade teacher who also acts as the tech director at Faith Lutheran School in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
His perspective is great because he's not a procurement lawyer. He's a teacher.
Exactly. He noted that the 70-plus questions fundamentally changed the negotiation because it forced the local vendors to admit what wasn't in their initial lease proposals.
Which is so critical.
By shining a light on the omissions, his school secured three brand new machines and still saved 19%, keeping over $9,000 in the school's operating budget.
The core belief underlying all of this is that critical thinking is absolutely essential in modern procurement. These massive savings aren't magic.
No.
They aren't a trick. They are simply the result of fully disclosed math. When a buyer refuses to accept a vague, you know, it's industry standard proposal, and instead forces the vendor to show their work on the rate factors, the residual amounts, and the shipping fees, the artificially inflated margins just collapse.
It is amazing to me how universal this is. Whether you are managing the budget for a massive multi-campus hospital system in California, a county IT department, or you are a sixth grade teacher trying to get a fair deal for your local parish school, the exact same corporate traps are being used against you.
The mechanisms do not change.
But the good news is the exact same playbook can defeat them, no matter your size. So, if you are listening to this right now, the next time you are prepping for a quarterly budget meeting, or the next time an auto-renewing contract lands on your desk for a signature, remember what we unpacked today.
Please do.
Do not just look at the monthly payment. Look for the hidden rate factors masquerading as tiny decimals. Look for the separated maintenance terms and staggered billing cycles.
Ask point blank about the hard drive wiping fees.
Yes, and the return shipping markups and the dreaded evergreen auto-renewal clauses. And above all, make absolutely sure you are sending that cancellation notice to the bank financing the lease, not just your friendly local sales rep.
Demand the transparency. Assume nothing, and force them to answer the hard questions in writing.
We've spent this entire time talking about the physical machines that print paper. We've looked at how the mundane office copier is quietly weaponized through predatory math. But as modern offices increasingly go completely paperless, I want to leave you with a bigger question to mull over.
Oh, this is a good one.
Where are these exact same predatory subscription-based leasing tactics quietly migrating to next? What software license, what cybersecurity suite, or what cloud storage contract in your office right now is currently running on an open checkbook?
That is the multi-million-dollar question every organization needs to be asking themselves today.
Thank you for joining us on this custom deep dive into your sources. Until next time, keep asking the hard questions.